Hallelujah. Okay, you're going to open up to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, when we last left off, we were talking about real faith has real joy and real peace in the midst of contradictions, symptoms, and lack. So you're there in 1 Timothy, and I look to chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I know that's written to Timothy by Paul, but he wrote it out to each and every one of us. Did you hear it? It's written out so that, and that's why God wrote his word in such a way. Because believe me, these were all inspired by the Holy Spirit. Because that's why I was just talking with someone the other day. I said, when I get to heaven, I said, I want to ask, weren't there more books? And he goes, oh yeah, well you think those are the only prophets? Come here, let me show you some of the prophets that were out there and did things that I had them to do, but they weren't in a book. He specifically wanted these 66 books for us. Amen. He knew what we were going to need. And as you know, they couldn't list all the miracles that Jesus did while he was here. We only have these ones that are documented. There's more that had happened. They said they couldn't get them written in a book. There would not be enough to make books for those miracles that he did. I didn't say it. It's right there in his word. He's letting us know that there was more than this that happened. And there's a lot in here that have happened. Excuse me. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I hate when that comes on all the time. Okay, are you fighting the good fight of faith? Are you keeping the faith? Because I know when I ask that question, you say, why? Because you get tired.
Yes, sir.
That leads us right up to Galatians chapter 6 here, Brother Tim. Galatians chapter 6. And it says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. We shall reap. But then there's a little two-letter word. If we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. Those who grow weary and lose heart will end up giving up and quitting. Don't quit. We all have things going on in our own personal lives. And we got them going on in our families. And then we got them happening in our nation. And we get hit with them 24/7. See, when we go to sleep at night, Washington is still doing things. Our government is still doing things. Things that we don't want to happen. But as you can see, more and more is getting revealed. We are living in a time where evil is called good and good evil. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, says, woe! I like that when the Lord said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And this leads to one thing, judgment. The word woe means grief, anguish, affliction, wretchedness, calamity, or trouble. The Dictionary of Bible Themes categorizes the use of the word woe in the Bible. Woe as an exclamation of judgment on others. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. When we thought all the exposure had been complete of the evil in our nation, up in our government, God was not through yet. We see the things that we keep saying, it's just unbelievable. But it should not frighten us. It should not frighten us. This should educate us. And I'm saying educate the church, because the church needs to be awakened. The ecclesia needs to take their part. And they have started doing that, and that's why there's more and more exposure. When God's behind it, I like it says, look out. But I'm telling you this morning, you got to be careful who you are listening to. The Bible tells us to make sure that we know what we are hearing and how we are hearing. So it really makes a difference where you're getting your information from. That you got to be careful. If you think you're going to get it on the mainstream media, no, you're not going to get the truth. You're not going to get the truth. And I'm going to push it. You got to turn on the Kenneth Copeland channel, which is the Go Victory one. They put on a news program to put out the truth. And then you have Flashpoint. How many of you think that Ukraine is winning the war? Huh? I mean, is that what they put out? That the rebels are fighting, they're coming back, they're taking it back. No. That's not the truth. But see, it's how they want to control the narratives on all these different things that are going on. And there's so much more to be exposed over there. So much more. I don't mean to be talking about, but we need to be aware. See, because our hearing will affect the way we think. I understand what I'm saying? So in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 of the Good News translation. All right, I like that. It's the Good News. It says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Wrong thoughts will lead to fear. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Amen. Faith opens the door for God to work. Fear opens the door for the devil. Question. Who are you opening the door to? Yep. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and a sound mind. And the sound mind actually means self-control. Self-control is the ability to control our thoughts, emotions, and actions. Holy Spirit is a fruit. Did you know that? It is a fruit of the Spirit. Turn to Galatians 5, verses 22 through 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Holy Spirit living in us produces the spirit of self-control that we need. For the ability to control oneself, in particular, one's emotions and desires, or the expression of them in one's behavior, especially in difficult situations. Self-control helps us to resist temptation and avoid conforming to the things of this world. It guides our decisions, and it correlates with how we show the other fruits in our lives. For example, long-suffering or patience requires self-control. There are many factors that can contribute to the loss of self-control. For some people, it may be caused by stress, the unknown, tiredness. How about hunger? We have the Holy Spirit living in us, supplying the fruit of self-control. We are in control of every situation. See, we are. No matter what, if we would confidently trust in the Lord with all our heart, mind, and soul. So why do so many believers, when knocked down, want to quit? Proverbs 24, verse 16, Proverbs 24, verse 16, it says in the New King James, "For a righteous man falls seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity." Now the ICB, the International Children's Bible, I get into that easy stuff and the children's stuff, says, "A good man may be bothered by trouble seven times, but he doesn't give up. But the wicked are overwhelmed by trouble." Okay, the ERV, the easy-to-read version. "Good people might fall again and again, but they always get up. It is the wicked who are defeated by their troubles." Who are you? If the devil knocks you down seven times, you know what I'm telling you? Get up eight. Doesn't make sense. Let us sink in for a minute. See, that's how we beat the devil at his own game. You get knocked down, you get back up. But sadly, too many give up too quickly. One reason is that they are not convinced that God will keep his word. And we know what Hebrews 11:1 is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, now some have had a hard time grasping hold of that. And I've said it, we've said it, but Lord, I've got to make it easier to relate to this. I said, because you know what the verses I like to go to, Lord. So what's God's definition of faith? I know what we have the word there for, but I want you to hear this morning. Okay, and what it is. This is what he says. He says, "Faith is the deep conviction of the reality that it is impossible for me to lie. Let me read that again. He says, faith is a deep conviction of the reality that it is impossible for me to lie. See, that's faith. And does God lie? We know He doesn't. But I'm going to give you some examples. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, the easy read version. This faith and knowledge makes us sure that we have eternal life. God promised that life to us before time began. And God does not lie. Now in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. These two things cannot change. These two things cannot change. Do you believe God's word?
Yes, sir.
You believe its truth?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then I'll continue. God cannot lie when He says something. And He cannot lie when He makes an oath. So these two things are a great help to us who have come to God for safety. They encourage us to hold on to the hope that is ours. What is Bible hope? What's Bible hope? Do you remember? Nobody remembers? I think that's why we repeat so many times. Huh? The confident expectation of success. That's Bible hope. Remember that. Maybe you need to write that down. Every time you see hope, read where it's at in the context of it, and you'll see why he says that. It's a confident expectation of success. Psalm 89, verse 34. Brother, this is for you, Tim. Got it from your version, the voice. It's not just because you sing, because you are very vocal around the house. I hear you from one end of the street to the other. It says, and this is, remember who's speaking here, that I will not violate my covenant, nor will I alter even one word of what my lips have spoken. In Isaiah 40, verse 8, contemporary English version, I thought of you, Dean. Flowers and grass fade away. But what our God has said will never change. Malachi 3:6, he said, for I am the Lord, I do not change. If he doesn't change, then neither does his word. God and his word are one. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we are not deeply convicted that it's impossible for God to lie, then we are always going to struggle with our faith. Now, I don't know if you watched the Branson thing this week. Anyhow, as Kenneth Copeland has said, when you get to the place where you believe God's word as quickly as you would the word of your doctor, your lawyer, or your best friend, then you won't struggle with faith anymore. When he said that, I was like, woo, woo. And, I said, okay, I can write that out. Did I remember that? And the Holy Ghost brought it all back. I went, okay. Because I went back later. For I'm going to make a rewind my thing. So.
Why don't you say that again, sir?
Okay. He said, when you get to the place where you believe God's word as quickly as you would the word of your doctor, your lawyer, or your best friend, then you won't struggle with your faith anymore. Keep the faith. Don't quit. Here's another reason why many quit. See, they're not willing to wait. Believers who give up have not developed the force of patience in their lives. No, they haven't. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. Hebrews 10, verses 35 and 36. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience. Wow. Speaking to a lot of us here. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, listen to this in the message. So don't throw away it all right now. You were sure of yourself then. It's still a sure thing. But you need to stick it out. You need to stick it out. Staying with God's plan so you'll be there for the promised completion. But we need to stick it out. If we stick it out, we will receive the promised completion. See, that right there should motivate us all to stand. No matter what, to stand. Now, I was going to read, excuse me. I didn't even drink the extra coffee. I didn't drink the coffee this morning, thinking that was the cause of this, but I don't know where it keeps coming from. We got to pray against that. That's gone forever. I'm tired of that. But anyhow, Ephesians chapter 6. Now, I'm going to read it in the King James here. We're going to read verses 13 through 18. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, I want you to hear that from the Message Bible. Because, see, you may not have got the Message Bible understanding. Now, you know that one because we all read that one all the time. But I know we don't read the Message Bible a lot. A lot of you. But anyhow, this is what it says. Okay. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get. Every weapon God has issued so that when it's all over, but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. You hear that, Vic? Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. That's talking about quitting. For we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, right? Now, we know that from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. But the easy-to-read version says, we must not quit meeting together on Sundays, so as some are doing. No, we need to keep on encouraging each other. This becomes more and more important as we see the day getting closer and closer and closer. We have need of patience. Do we not? Yes, we do. I know. Now, patience is a virtue. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, Dean. Amen. Bearing with one another in love. Amen. Takes patience. Does that not go with that, Vic? Because it's all about love. We know that. Because what's love got to do with it? Everything. I think about that every time I look at the cross. What's love got to do with it? Everything. Everything was settled there. It is finished. Jesus said it. When are we going to believe it? That's why we got to be here in the house to encourage one another. We have the victory. We have the victory. Amen. We need to be doing that all week long. Now, we have the victory. But no, we get out there and when the world beats us up, we can't wait for Sunday morning because we need lifted up. And if you ain't in the house, you ain't going to get lifted up. That's just the way it is. Ah, Jesus. I don't want to sound like I'm slamming, but I'm just telling you, I'm doing it because I know what you need. And those who are going to be listening to this online, I hope you get the message.
Yes. Amen.
You can re-listen to it online, but it's better to be in a house to get it firsthand. Because then you can't see all the waving of my hands and stuff that I do. Hallelujah. And I'm not Italian. No, but I've done some mighty swings, not realizing it. Oh, hallelujah. Patience. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, it's talking to us, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Patience is the greatest virtue. Yeah. Patience is a moral virtue because it contributes to happiness and living well. Waiting attentively involves discerning when it's not your turn to act. Waiting without complaining helps us not hate the waiting. Why do you think sometimes your prayers get held up? Shut up with your mouth. And it also helps us to do our job when we are called upon. Without patience, our faith will falter, and we will find ourselves succumbing to fear and despondency, which in turn paralyzes our faith. It incapacitates us as a believer. See, we first must learn patience if we want to learn anything at all. Have you ever been taught, your dad teaching you something, and you're sitting there doing this, wanting to get ahead of him, and he says, "Son, you need a little patience here. Would you stop it? I'm trying to teach you." Now that's how God works with us. Same way. Trying to teach you. See, now, we must have patience and wait on the Lord. And I stress that because sometimes you're looking for it, and it may take a couple days. It may take, you know, a couple months. It may take a couple years. But the key to it is having patience. Having patience. That's why they keep the faith and don't quit. One more reason I believe many quit is because they don't spend enough time fellowshipping with God and His Word. Well, in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, it states, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." God and His Word are one and the same. They are both able to build us up as we spend time in them. They'll make us strong and cause us to become established, which will turn us into a person who will never, never, never quit once you get established. And when you get established, you know what else? We flourish. We flourish. When we're tempted to quit, we don't want to run from God and we don't want to run from His Word. We want to run to them both. Because He can speak to us through His Word. See, because sometimes we get to calling out to God and whining and crying, and we can't get quiet enough to hear Him, but when we take time to start looking at His Word, He brings the answer because we're not listening. We're not listening. We can find the answer right there in His Word. And He will show you exactly which ones, and they will minister to you. Again, they are able to build you up and strengthen you and cause you to become established, settled, secure, firm, and immovable. We need to become the person that Psalm 112, verses 6 and 8 read. "Now, my wife prayed this whole psalm over me when I was on the other side." You know, we don't want to go where that other side was. But anyhow, she prayed this psalm over me. And she actually put my name in it. But I want you to say this part with me this morning, these verses. "Surely I shall not be moved forever. My heart is fixed Trusting in the Lord.
My heart is established.
I shall not be afraid. Never! 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 No! Never. We're not to be afraid. You get your heart established on Christ and get into His Word and your establishment, you will not be afraid. You will not be afraid. When we become strong and established, we become someone who will receive everything God has promised. We'll be able to testify of another blessing that has come into our lives and another victory that we have experienced. From glory to glory and from victory to victory, we will go. If we keep the faith and don't quit. And if we keep the faith, what we say? We flourish. We flourish. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. The AKJ version. Okay, live shot. That's the authorized King James version. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. These scriptures speak of God's continuing blessing on us, the believers, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And did you notice you talked about the first thing? Talked about the trees. The tree image recalls the words of Psalm 1, verse 3. Psalm 1, verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I like that. I like those words, flourish and prosper. Now, flourish means to grow or develop in a healthy or vigorous way, especially as the result of a particular favorable environment. Well, let me give you the Pastor Jack definition of flourish. To grow in a healthy and vigorous way, especially as a result of God's favor. When you had the favor of God on you, hallelujah. And can you pray and claim it? Oh, yeah. Can you do it before you get saved and don't know it? But you're letting know? Just ask Mike Lindell. Listen to his testimony. Then know what he said? I can call for favor, sis. Yeah, you call for favor. And he wasn't born again yet. But see, he had someone that was godly speaking into his life. And so he said, okay, I'm going to keep going. Because God had a plan for him. God has a plan for each and every one of you. Not just Mike Lindell, but he has one for you. He has one for Tony, one for Joe. He has one for Vanessa. There's one for Cristiano. And Jaquim, he's got a plan for her too. Plans for her to prosper. He's given her a future, he said. A hope in the future. A confident expectation of success, sister. That's what he's got in store for you. And he's got it for every one of you as well. Oh, Jesus, I love this. Hallelujah. The word prosper in the Greek literally means to help on the road or succeed in reaching. So it's very clear from this definition that prosperity is more than money and the accumulation of wealth, but rather an ongoing state of success that touches every area of our life, physically, emotionally, financially, and spiritually. Prosperity. See what that means? It's more than money. More than money. Because he will supply all your needs. See, I'm not saying that. He will supply all your needs. You keep trying it your way. Why don't you try it his way? I learned a long time ago. I worked constantly. And I never had enough money. I thought that's what you're supposed to do. You're out there working hard and getting all that money you needed. Now, once I found God and did it his way, I tell you, life changed. Life got a lot easier. And I've never been lacking in any area in finances in my house. None. Because everything we do in the financial realm, me and my wife are in agreement with. Now, Leon will tell you, it wasn't that way for a long time. But it is now. We do it differently. Yeah, I hear you. Amen. Amen. He's giving Anthony an education right now. Hallelujah. He's saying, what are we doing here? I'm ready to go out and play. You know? Whenever we find someone abounding in the blessings of God, it's clear why. They're strong and established. Their faithfulness is what's standing out. Now, this is where we must guard our hearts. Are you listening, Vic? Only reason I'm saying I'm listening because it was lying right up in what you said. That's why I told Dean, you kind of come over. I was looking at this. Don't get upset with them. Don't become envious or mad at them. Don't make ugly remarks about them. And don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at God. Instead, why not simply follow their example? See, what God's done for them, he will do for you as well. If we won't quit, and if we remain faithful, then I'm telling you, get ready to flourish like you've never flourished before. Get ready to abound in God's blessings. See, that's what happens when we refuse to quit and when we keep the faith. That's the key to it, folks. It all revolves around faith. And that's why we can't walk around in fear. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.